We're on.
We are. Good morning. This is Steve Lever. This is Pod Soup. It's a podcast Pod Soup. It's about Octo Rare students. Okay. The soup being, you know, you kind of mix things together and okay, but it's actually soup as in superintendent.
Okay.
so it's kind
I like
of
it. Kind double of, entendre.
Yeah, little play on words. Yep, little play like on it. Words. So this is second episode of Pod Soup, and I have with me Dan Rowe. Dan's a graduating senior. You graduate Wednesday next week, right?
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. So the background of this episode is one day I stepped outside my office because I saw a class of students that had taken some benches and put them in a circle just outside of my office window in a courtyard that we have. And I went out to say, this is awesome that you guys are here. And before I could really say anything, Dan said to me, hey, I want to talk to you. I have some ideas about the school. And I said, well, that's interesting because I wanted to talk about these outdoor spaces. And he said, yeah, we need more outdoor spaces. And he says, and I have some other ideas, and I've heard you have some too. And so I said, well, okay, you're going to be a guest on my new podcast. And so today's the day.
I'm very excited to be here.
Okay. So excited. Let's start with the outdoor spaces.
Okay.
That was, you guys were out there. So what's the idea of the outdoor spaces, and what did I tell you we were going to do?
So I know that the Leo Club had drawn up a blueprint and made like estimates on this design that they had done, which included like an amphitheater, which was really cool. And I really liked that idea. Yep, over here.
Yep.
And a nice trail with a nice pollinator garden and a meadow and like structure for wildlife habitat and shade trees.
Yeah.
And I just think that would be so awesome. Like, and the kids here like really do deserve that. I feel like now, in a weird way, as rural as our school is, like a lot of the like newer kids aren't tapped into it at all.
Yeah.
You know, cause they do. They, you know, we have suburbs like Acklen and Parksburg are very suburban, and I feel like these kids just aren't as tapped into like nature as I would hope to for a school in our setting. Like, like when you go, my sister goes to Kennett. When you look at the Kennett High School, it is a massive building. It's like a castle.
Mm-hmm.
And Octo Rare is really different. It's something special because all of our campuses are like in a block.
Yeah.
Like we have like
a small college campus.
Yeah, it is. It is, and it's awesome.
It's beautiful.
I love it so much. So
the outdoor space,
which
is actually the thing, it was the why it resonated with me when you said that was it's something that we've talked about and we've presented to the board, and we're actually renovating some spaces. You know, in the library where there's that gate.
Yeah.
That's all gone as of whatever next week. That's going to be a whole. It's a space for studying or for teaching.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be a nice space. We're taking the hub.
Yeah.
And we're completely there was a design for the hub that for whatever reason we just kind of stalled on. So we're picking that up and trying to create some alternative spaces where people can get out of their classrooms. And so that's where the learning space outside becomes really important to us. So the amphitheater is probably further down the road.
Yeah, totally.
How awesome
would that be?
It would be. But the cool thing is the Leo Club did that design because we now have a basis to go out through the Ed Foundation and through our business manager, Scott Domowitz, who came in October. Scott's really good at seeking funding.
Yeah.
And so he's already looking for grants
to
help fund this stuff.
Nice.
So what I said to you was, by this time next year, we want to have 3 outdoor spaces.
Yeah.
And they might be the cheaper ones. They won't be the big blown out ones like are drawn up on that. But it is exactly what we want to see. We want to see teachers doing things in a non-traditional way. You guys were just sitting in the sun having a nice conversation.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we'd like to see that happen everywhere. On the elementary side of the campus, you know, middle school has...
We have the room.
We do. And we do. You think of the middle school cafeteria.
Yeah.
And that there's that kind of nasty patio that's there where the steps go up, that bank would be an ideal place to put in like a little amphitheater.
Yeah.
And you know, kids can sit out there and eat.
Yeah.
Teachers could go out during the day, maybe on a sunny day. So outdoor spaces, that's one idea.
Yeah.
What's another idea you've got?
I have, well, on the outdoor spaces, right outside of the hub. Mm-hmm. I feel like that. There's a couple of those little nooks
in our campuses
that are like, I don't want to say neglected, but like definitely could be utilized more. Yeah. Yeah. Like just outside the nurse.
Yeah.
Like, and I understand like with that one, there's like offices there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like we just need to get outside. I actually drew up an entire concept map. Yeah, for an English project. Like I did a plant selection list. I didn't do the actual placements, but okay. I did a whole selection for the meadow and for the pollinator garden. And a good idea I had, just because I'm kind of nerdy with some plants, but
we all have our areas of nerdiness.
Yeah. There's the tree pawpaw, the fruit. Are you familiar?
No.
Okay, so it's actually America's only native tree fruit.
No kidding.
And they grow, like their growth habit is really good for shade, and they grow in groves. So I figured maybe if you did like a couple of clusters out there to the left where the learning grove was drawn on the map and those tables were designed.
Yeah.
So
you know I'm now going to have to take a picture of what you're talking about and post it on the superintendent's webpage so people can understand what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, pawpaw trees are really cool too because they're ripening on the tree just as the school year gets started.
Oh, no kidding.
And I thought what... Like, how cool would that be to tie in, you know, you could take those to a school lunch and give some of them out, cut them in half. Like, they're a little seedy, but they're actually really, really good. They kind of taste like a mango, but a little sweeter, like peachy kind
of. It's amazing. I've never heard of it.
They're everywhere. Like, I see them in the water, like on the Brandywine when I'm out fishing.
Okay.
But they're... America's only native tree fruit.
Very, so, follow-up question. Cool. So, how did you get interested in all this stuff?
Well, the plant side is... Let me start here. When I was getting into high school, I was still in middle school, and I didn't really know what to do. Mm-hmm. I felt a little lost because people were going into TCHS, but I didn't have the best grades at the time.
Yeah.
So, I figured I couldn't do it, right? Mm-hmm. I just... Like, that was my thought process. It was they're going to reject me.
Okay.
Why even try? But then I heard about the animal and plant science class here, and it seemed a little easier to get into at the time. Mm-hmm. And I talked to my teachers, and they were like, yeah, that actually, or I talked to the guidance, and they thought it was a good idea for me. My mom's worked with horses for the longest time.
Okay.
Like the equine industry was big for her.
Yeah.
And my dad has worked in the greenhousing industry for his entire life, being a grower, manager, like all of it.
Yeah.
He's done it all.
Yeah.
My mom's worked with like racehorses.
Okay.
Very, very. So I figured that would work for me just because I can cover both of these and learn more.
And this is your eighth grade mind or your ninth grade mind?
Yeah, eighth grade.
Eighth grade.
Eighth grade.
You're processing in eighth grade this pathway.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay. And so COVID hit. And saved me, bro. Like,
really?
like straight up, I really thought I was going to fail eighth grade year. COVID came and they like passed everybody. I got really lucky. I did. I got really lucky, like super blessed.
Uh-huh.
My dad got me my first job that summer working in the greenhouse with him, with a couple of my friends. So he was like running like a crew there and we were trimming plants all day. Really big. There's a really big greenhouse that I work at, North Creek Nurseries. And they grow ornamental perennials.
Okay.
So that's why I kind of know about this.
Okay.
This,
yeah. And, so I'm saying, where did all the background
and how the gardening? Just because I work with plants and I know what they look like.
Mm-hmm.
I know the names. Like I can identify a decent amount of plants. Like when I was coming in here, I was looking at the hydro tower. I was like, oh, nice. You got some tomatoes, basil.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I've worked in a vegetable garden for 2 years too. Growing up, my grandmother has this house from the 18, it's about to be 200 years old, 1827, in Unionville. It was an old inn, and she has the most wonderful garden like you've ever seen. That's not from like Longwood. Yeah. I mean, it is.
It's a lot of work.
And it's so well maintained. And I'm like, she works full time still. I don't know how she does it. She's a trooper.
So that class gave you this that started this passion for you.
Yeah, and my dad getting me my job there. I I've worked at it almost every summer since.
So you started to say something about learning spaces. Did you get to that? I was trying to move to a question, and you said another word about learning spaces.
Oh, yeah, the pawpaw trees.
Yeah, the pawpaw trees.
Okay, that's, yeah, sorry about that.
To get those in there.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, I think pawpaw trees would be so cool just because, you know, not only does it provide food, you also can teach.
We applied for a grant
recently
that would give us, I think I have this correct, $15,000 per school.
Oh, really?
Would
you have four?
Per buildings, yeah.
Wow.
To plant like our own orchards. And so the problem with orchards, go ahead.
Okay, sorry. I got really excited when you said that. Because
for those of you who can't see, he put his hands up to his head like, oh my gosh.
Well, yeah, you just reminded me. We have that pasture.
Yes.
That pasture. Oh my gosh. I cannot wait for us to start utilizing that.
Doing
like,
something with it.
Yeah, totally. Like just even
putting it. So you're talking about the one that's fenced across the street between OIS?
Yeah.
So that's where our geothermal system is.
Yeah.
So we have to be a little careful what I don't think we put trees on top of it.
Yeah.
We have actually talked about a solar field there because
I got some opinions on that.
Yeah, I'm sure. A lot of people do. It's not a done deal, but We have a problem with energy.
Yeah.
And so there's some upgrades that we have to do, and they're very expensive.
Yeah.
So we're trying to figure out how to maximize that. But so anyways, these grants would allow us to create our own. Basically, what you're supposed to do is create your own produce.
Yeah.
And to be able to use it.
Now, food forests.
Yeah, something like that. And so, but there's a lot behind that. How do we harness our ag department? How do we get our students involved in this? Which leads us to maybe we can produce more than we can consume.
Yeah.
So another idea you talked to me about
Is across the street we have the we have that garage. I don't really know what it is. A storage shed.
Yeah, it looks like a garage from the 1930s.
Yeah, it does.
An old car garage.
It's an old school like garage.
Yeah.
I think they just keep stuff in there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's been storage.
Yeah.
For, I think Octavary had some unwritten rule that we don't throw anything away.
Yeah.
Because we had all the storage containers in the parking lots from COVID, and that building was full. Well, when I came, I said to our maintenance director, Jim Durbero, I said, we got to clean that building up.
Yeah.
So he's like, yes, we do. So it's taken, you know, much of the year to clear everything out. We auctioned a bunch of stuff off.
Nice.
I don't know if you guys were on a half day. It was a half day that you guys were on a half day in April.
Okay.
And that was the day we did the auction. It was a rainy day, but we auctioned off a lot of old equipment and stuff.
That's cool.
And then we kind of have dressed up that building. Well, immediately people started coming and inquiring about whether they could purchase the building.
Yeah.
And then you came up to me and said, what?
Well, it was after an assembly.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to you. I've always thought it would be cool to run like a produce stand or turning it into a diner, actually. Like I've thought about having a diner near the school for a long time. Actually, if you're familiar with 10 and 41, they just tore down that gas station across from Turkey Hill.
Yeah.
I thought that would be a sweet spot to put a diner. But then I thought about this building and I was like, yo, you could run a little restaurant and tie it in with like the cooking program that we have here. You could hire students and have them work right next to the school.
Yeah.
And run a produce stand. Like it could be an entire storefront. And it has there's so much potential there, like as a genuine business and as a, like a learning experience for all the students here. Yeah.
You know, the three major considerations for a business, right?
No.
Location, location, and location.
Okay. And so that's great.
That's location.
Great. I mean, you have all the flow of all the students.
Yeah, Route 41, you got.
And Route 41.
Yeah. So your idea is what I've used for other people who have said to me, we should sell it, or we should do this, or we should do that.
Selling it would be silly.
That would be, you know, I don't believe you ever let go of real estate unless you have some stated purpose.
Yeah.
So I'm actually using our conversation with adults.
Oh, wow.
I'm saying, no, we have a student who had a really good idea. And I think his idea is what allows us to harness our programs and to grow them a little bit more. Wow. So here's what's come out of that conversation.
Yeah.
We have a business program in our CTE.
Yeah.
And we have the welding shop that is they have the capability to do some production. It's not their purpose, sure. but the end product of learning to weld is to produce.
Yeah.
We have our wood shop. And yeah. So this conversation has already taken place. The welding shop frames up a frame. The wood shop gets slab tables,
mm-hmm.
Which we have a contact that we can get them wholesale. And then they put those together. And then we create a website and we sell products that our students have made. The point is not to make a lot of money selling products.
No.
The point is to give the students the idea of, okay, so how do you scale your work?
Yeah.
How do you budget?
Yeah.
What goes into production? If you spend how much, then how much are you going to be able to make off of it?
Totally.
And then we had the art show, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it would make a great gallery, too.
Well, not only that, but so my secretary went over, and one of our AP students had pottery.
And, oh, yeah.
And my secretary said to the girl who made the pottery, can I buy your pottery? And student kind of half confused and said, I guess so.
Yeah.
And so she bought this piece of pottery that was beautiful.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, how cool would it be if our seniors who are creating studio art had a place to consign their work?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, so that they have an actually, you know, a place to do that. So
it'd be wonderful.
So what we're working on is for this,
just giving them the outlet.
Just like, give them a space.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And we have so here's right now. Disclaimer to the audience. This is not a cast in stone plan. This is an idea concept.
Okay.
So next year,
yep.
We have this new construction trades that is a shared program with Oxford.
Okay.
They're going to start designing the renovation of that building.
Okay.
Okay.
Just kind of for fun, as like
no, as
as seriously.
What would we do if this was going to be a storefront? Okay. What would we do?
Okay.
But
they're doing it to learn in class.
Yeah, and our engineering and our design people will start. They'll have an actual facility that they will work, and we'll harness our different groups.
And you said it's a new vocational program?
At Oxford. Yeah, nice. It's a construction trades. They had it last year, but they didn't have any students in it. But the superintendent at Oxford told me last week there's 21 kids for next year.
Wow.
And some of them are our kids.
Nice.
And so so our business department starts to build an e-commerce site.
Yeah.
Culinary, they do what they do.
Yeah.
And maybe we can get to a place a few years from now where that is a school store,
mm-hmm.
where, like right now, I would say Friday noon, it opens, and it stays open into the evening, and then it's open Saturday morning, and that's it.
Yeah.
And we have an e-commerce site that people can come and see products, but, you know, we could sell different things at different times. Actually, the superintendent at Oxford, I was telling him about it, and he was like, oh, we would love to send some of our stuff up there. So it's a really cool idea that gives our kids, I mean, it's an opportunity for our shops to make something to sell. We don't need to make money on it.
Yeah.
But if they ever make money, it's to create more things for our shops.
Totally.
So that idea started with your conversation with me.
Wow.
Because I had thought, we had talked about it, and we've always talked about sending kids over there, but that was too great a barrier. We can't send kids over during the day across 41. We just can't.
Yeah.
And to put something over the road,
bridge is
it's just going to be cost prohibitive.
Mm-hmm.
But this would be something that it would be a point in time, and our shops would all be kind of active.
Yeah.
So we're going to take several years to kind of lean into that and see where it goes. But what we really want is we want our kids to, just like you've kind of described in your background, we want our kids to have real world experiences,
mm-hmm.
around what they're learning here. And, you know, if
like
they
a purpose.
A
like,
purpose.
Yeah.
You know, like you talked about in eighth grade, you're like,
yeah.
I didn't know what I was going to do.
Yeah, I had no idea. I felt so lost.
Yeah. So what helped you figure that out?
Well, ultimately, it was just locking in a decision.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, I was kind of nervous.
Mm-hmm.
You're going into your freshman year. You don't really know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And
your friends were starting to pick pathways.
Yeah.
For TCHS.
Yeah. I was like, all right, well, my friends going into the welding program at TCHS or, mm-hmm. going into the veterinarian or the culinary,
mm-hmm.
they have so many different ones. So it's like, well, I looked at what my parents are doing.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Honestly. Yeah. I looked up to my parents and I was like, okay.
Is there anybody here who's had a real impact on you?
I'd say for sure, like even just through the program, working with Mrs. Taylor and Miss Martin.
Yeah.
She's such an amazing teacher. Yeah. One of the best teachers I've ever had. I have had issues with teachers.
Yeah.
Like growing up. Like that's part of the reason why I left Unionville. I went to Unionville, K through second grade. Mm-hmm. And then I went to, my grandmother works at a private school in Westchester, mm-hmm. Westchester Friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there from second to fourth grade, midway through fourth grade.
So you would say you've come a long way.
I have, definitely, definitely.
And so what have you learned about yourself?
Over that time period, I mean, really just overcoming switching schools when I was younger. I mean, that was a big thing. When I came to Octorara, it was really nice. I had a good and bad teacher. It was like a two-teacher classroom. But okay. It was a good cop, bad cop kind of situation. So that was phenomenal. And I was able to make friends relatively easily here.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still friends. Like two of my best friends, I met in fourth grade.
Okay.
And they're still, like my friend Dominic. It's like I met him in fourth grade. And we hated each other at first. Funny enough.
Funny way that works.
Yep. And over fourth grade, we became friends and we're good.
So what are you doing after graduation?
I'm not entirely sure. I don't have a straight plan. I've been thinking multiple routes. Military is appealing, but also, you know,
commitment.
Yeah, it's a big commitment.
Yeah.
But tons of rewards through that. I think I'm just gonna work for a couple of years.
Yep.
And see where I'm at. Focus on saving and bettering myself just like every day as I can.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's this American tradition of rushing into college when...
I'm not a fan.
When you don't know why you're there.
Yeah.
And goodness knows that I went to school with a lot of people who weren't sure why they were there.
Yeah.
I didn't declare my major until my senior year.
Wow.
And then I went through student teaching and wasn't sure I wanted to teach.
Hmm. I've thought about being a teacher, actually.
Have you?
Penn State has a good ag teacher program, and I think I could do that.
And you know what? It's a really in-demand
job.
It's a really in-demand position. It's really, really hard. And you know what? 4 years from now, that's when we'll have our ag super center. And we might be looking for another person to come back and help us with these brilliant ideas around our own orchards and maybe some hydroponics and greenhouses. You can take your dad's knowledge and
not only my dad's knowledge, but the company that he's working for right now is a startup. I don't, did he talk to you about it at the banquet?
No.
It is, I think it's the future of agriculture.
Okay.
Entirely. Now,
so tell me a little bit about that. Maybe he did mention something. Tell me a little bit.
So essentially, and I'm gonna try my best to describe this for people that don't have a visual, but commercial greenhouses work in like bays. So imagine you have a rectangle and that's a bay.
Yeah.
And in that bay, there's a boom, like a watering boom.
Yeah.
And that's a watering system. So they've developed an AI, and don't get scared of it.
Yeah.
But it's a camera, and it takes a ton of photos of the plants and stitches them all together. And then the AI looks at this photo of your crop. And it does inventory counts, it does like pests and weed detection.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so much, it just provides the grower with so much information.
Yeah.
Like they almost don't even know what to do with it all.
Yeah.
Like, but it is just such an amazing tool.
Wow.
That can go, it has so much potential to go so far. It really does. It's called Luna. Luna AI, but the company is Uno.
Okay. So it's interesting because what you just described was essentially what the Secretary of Agriculture said to me.
Yeah.
That there's all of these emerging technologies in ag that where does a farmer go to learn them?
Yeah.
And so he was saying, you know, I said if we had an ag center that was regional, yeah. and was doing some things that were specialized. What's one of the things that, and that was what he was describing, not specifically that,
yeah.
but the whole idea of technology merging with agriculture, and where does a farmer go to learn that?
It's going to be the boom.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. So imagine if Octorera kids came out with some understanding of that.
Yeah.
And could, ideally form their own little consulting company, leaving because they know stuff that other farmers don't know. This is, you know, our vision is to empower students to build successful futures.
Yeah.
And while you don't know exactly what you're going to do after graduation, yeah. my level of concern about you is zero, because, my suggestion, if you're looking for any, if you want to go to Penn State, get started at a Penn State Berks or Great okay. Valley or one of those places.
I was going to take some DCC credits yep. over yep. the summer and get my, mm-hmm. What are they called? Preliminaries
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
yeah. Like all the yeah. kind of high school level courses
yeah.
that they just require you to take before you can actually start doing your main stuff.
Yeah.
Get yeah, all those cheap credits out of the way.
Gen eds. Yeah. Yeah. And doing it in a cost effective way is really smart.
Yeah.
I don't think enough students utilize that.
And they can do it all online.
Yeah. Yeah, in your own time, in your own space.
Yeah.
And so, so what other ideas do you have that I haven't asked about and we haven't talked about? What could we do? What can we do to improve the experience for Dan Rowe?
Go back
4 years.
Okay.
What did we not do that you can think of, wow, I wish I'd had this?
Can I talk about curriculum?
Talk about anything you want.
Okay. I think it is great. Our science programs are great.
Mm-hmm.
And I really stand by that and how really good we are and how many good teachers we do have in our science programs. But I don't know. It just affected me when I tried to take biology my eighth grade year. This is just something that stuck with me. Mm-hmm. I tried to take biology my eighth grade year. And because, you know, I didn't have the best grades, they said I couldn't. Because at eighth grade, biology is considered an advanced course. Mm-hmm. And I think we got to do something about that. Mm-hmm. I felt like that was the issue to me. Mm-hmm. Because, and maybe it's the way my brain works, but that stuff is easy. Mm-hmm. It's not really difficult to, you know, understand and just learn about, you know, mm-hmm. cells, you know, they work like anything else.
So learn it like open up else. The pathway earlier.
Totally, mm-hmm. totally. Like junior FFA is a thing.
Yeah.
And when I went to nationals this year, I really realized it. There were like a lot of kids at the national convention,
yeah.
like a lot of really young people that I was like, I've only been in FFA since I was a sophomore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
So they're doing it much earlier.
These kids are in sixth, seventh grade
wow.
at the national convention.
Yeah.
You know, they live a state away, so it's a little
sure.
different. But
sure.
It was like, wow.
So creating additional opportunities.
Yeah, especially at a younger age. I feel like we do a good job with giving tours to the children.
Mm-hmm.
And like we go over there and read to them.
Mm-hmm.
Get their interest sparked. But I think it's a wonderful thing. You said something about hydroponics.
Yeah.
We grew lettuce in our class,
mm-hmm.
just in our classroom.
Was that in the standing?
Yeah. But not only that,
yeah.
we grew lettuce for just a project
yeah.
with stuff that we just had laying around the shop and
yeah.
stuff that, you know, there was a PVC pipe sitting outside of the greenhouse. It
yeah.
was a large PVC pipe, maybe 6 inches in diameter.
Yeah.
We turned that into a hydroponic system just
okay.
by drilling some holes and using your pot net.
Yeah.
We grew lettuce out of just one tube.
Yeah.
And I think the curriculum is so cool in that
yeah.
class. It really is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything you learn. FFA is so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I'd like us to open up a junior FFA if we really
okay.
can.
Okay.
Just because of how, you know, the younger that you get involved in something like that,
yeah.
the more benefit, you know, it's exponential. It really is.
Well, I want to encourage you to continue, especially because you said you thought maybe teaching. I was not a good student either. I was not a good student, and it wasn't all my fault. I was in a system in an inner city that
yeah.
I just didn't have the same opportunities. but fortunately my parents moved me when I was 17, and I went to another place where I had lots of opportunities, but I had more opportunities to grow. But when I went to college, I was completely unprepared.
Yeah.
Completely unprepared. I was an athlete, was at a small college, so I was playing sports. And in my world, I just needed a 2.0 to stay eligible.
Yeah.
So for 2 years, what did I have? 2.0, 2.3.
Yeah. That's where I was.
Yeah.
Through high school. And that's, I'm not going to say it's part of the reason why I didn't apply to colleges this year, but, you know, the GPA thing, it's, you know, it's a heavy thing to swallow. It is. Yeah. And it's real.
Yeah.
It's real.
And, but then in my, at the end of my sophomore year,
yeah,
I actually quit school to, join the Navy.
Really?
It was the summer that Top Gun came out. I had made the decision before Top Gun came out, but Top Gun does not make you want to avoid the Navy.
Definitely not.
It makes you, and so
excited.
So I went the whole summer, and that was my plan. And then at the end of the summer, I just thought, you know what, I probably should just go back to school. And then I had to go back and kind of reform myself as a student. And I had to learn, literally how to learn to study. And then I was dean's list the rest of my college career. And it's interesting because we have four kids, and my kids have only known me as graduate school dad, you know, master's and doctorate. Yeah. And so they think I'm a great student because I am a great student now, but I was not. So I have a saying that I use, the world is run by BC students. And that's not a slight on A students, but BC students tend to, and generalizing is always a bad idea, but they tend to, it might be the learning thing that they just have to work harder. Mm-hmm. So I'm dyslexic and it's not really pronounced, but I can't read at the same pace everybody else reads. I have to be very deliberate in order to.
Exactly.
So, you know, imagine being in a doctoral program and, you know, having to be so deliberate in what you read. That's why I think BC students, when they ultimately figure it out, they do well, because they've had to work harder to get where they are. So I would encourage you to keep pursuing it. You're not behind.
Yeah.
In fact, in some ways you're ahead, because you're considering the things that you would do. You're not rushing into something because somebody else has an expectation that you would do it.
It's something I'm very thankful for, actually. My parents have never been really I don't want to say strict, but like, I guess strict, like about grades.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they never wanted me failing anything, of course, but, you know, like they were all right with me having a C. They were all right with me having a D plus. Like they understood.
I must have frustrated my mom, because if I had 10 math problems, I would do 8, and I was reasonably assured that 7 of those were correct.
Yeah.
So I was giving myself room to miss one, but then I didn't do the last two, because I got 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
That was good enough.
Yep.
That's what made me Mr. 2.0 in college. But there was a certain point where I let that go, and it was like, no, you know, you have to put in your best. But nobody really taught me that early on. So, I just encourage you to.
How did you find that?
How did I find that? So I was in class in college. I was a history major.
Yeah.
And I realized that I was trying to do what everybody else was doing, which was take extensive notes, because in history it's a lot of, you listen to lectures and you regurgitate that on tests. And what I realized was I didn't learn that way. I had to take kind of scant notes, but I had to really... I'm very much an auditory learner. So if I wasn't really listening and, you know, making eye contact with a professor, I wasn't really absorbing. And so I kind of had to learn what to do for testing.
Yeah.
When I moved to the dean's list, before a history exam, I was in a small college, so there's only like 4 professors that I would, and once you knew the professors, like if Professor Bedford said something in class, by my junior year, I knew whether he would test that or whether he wouldn't. And then I also knew how he would test it. So I would literally make my own tests. Mm-hmm. And I learned to study also, because nobody had really taught me how to do that. And what I learned about myself was I can't study for longer than about 20 minutes. So I could go 20 minutes really hard, but then I needed to go and do something else.
Yeah.
And I needed to get my mind off it. I'd go to the gym and play basketball and come back. Because what happens to students is you study really hard, you go sit down and take the test, and you're studying right up until the moment, and then you sit down, and what happens? You forget a bunch of stuff. It's all gone. And so what you have to do is you have to replicate that. So you have to study, get your mind off it, come back, and then I would look at my test, and whatever I couldn't remember, that's what I knew I had to study.
Yeah.
And I would do that like 4 or 5 times over the course of a day or two. And by the time I went in, the stress had all been released because I had replicated that.
You've already taken this.
I'd already done it. And if there was, and I knew, and going in, I knew if he asks this, I'm in trouble because that's the one I can't remember. But the rest of this, no problem.
Yeah.
And just that was, and I don't, that was just me trying to figure out how I learned best and how to, and so my last, so I also have a degree in theology.
Okay.
So a double major in history and theology. And theology was really hard for me. And I had one last class, and I didn't buy the book because I didn't have any money. And it was a month-long class in the summer after graduation. And I took this class, and I sat down, and I listened. I was, you know, very attentive, but I didn't have good notes. So I sat down to study the night before the exam and didn't have good notes, didn't have the book. And so I went in, and it was actually the highest grade that I had gotten in a theology class. And it was just because by that time I had figured out kind of how I learned and what I needed to do. And so that sounds like the journey that you're kind of still on. And yeah, it's just recognizing where your weaknesses are.
Yeah.
And then figuring out how do you supplement those, or how do you fill those, or how do you compensate for them? You know, the dyslexia for me, I twist stuff all the time. My secretaries know I have it. My wife knows. Anybody I work with, they say, "Look, if you think I'm wrong, challenge me, because this is what my mind does. It'll switch things around." And so a lot of it is just understanding in a deeper way kind of who you are and where your barriers are, and then listening to people kind of help you fill those. So, anyways, that was a lot more about me than I wanted to give you. But
No, I appreciate it. It was really good.
So if you had one person in your life you want to thank at this point, who would that be?
Wow. Just one?
You could pick more than one.
My grandparents.
Okay.
My grandparents are awesome.
Yeah.
My grandmother, I don't know. I lived with her when I was 9, like from 1 to 9.
Okay.
I lived with her and my dad.
Okay.
And I still saw my mom, mm-hmm. but you know, my parents have been split up since I was super young. Very, very young.
Okay.
Very clean divorce though. Yeah. Like I've never seen my parents fight. I'm very lucky on that end. Okay. My grandmother, my grandfather have been just so amazing to me through my life. They really have. My grandmother's taught me so much. My grandfather has taught me so much too. He was a colonel in the Air Force in Vietnam.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot to get to the rank of colonel.
Yeah.
Had a brother who retired as a colonel. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, anybody else?
Very intense guy. I mean, my parents. I'd say my parents.
Yeah.
They
seem to have shaped you.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's where I get my fishing from.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
So one of the things that this morning I was talking to somebody, and I said you were coming on my podcast this morning.
Yeah.
And what they said was, boy, Dan Rowe's come a long way. What do you think they mean by that? That's a compliment.
Yeah. I don't know. I was a pain in the butt. I was a pain in the butt. And I can recognize it.
When did that turn?
See,
because I'm hoping some middle school kids will listen to this.
It was And I'm not a fan of some of the discipline here.
Yeah.
And I could talk about that later if you'd like. But was it 7th or 8th grade? Before COVID, I remember going back to, at the time, Senora Kelly's class from the office. I was coming back from the office, and I had just gotten, like, I think, like, literally, like, a week's worth of time taken out of my life.
Wow.
From, like, detention and, like, in-school suspensions being served to me, like, all at once. And, man, I just remember coming back into class, and I was just crying, like, with my head down, you know what I mean? Like, but, like, you know, I didn't want to, like, cry in class.
Yeah.
But it was just like, and yeah, I think it was then I was like, wow, like I really gotta like this is crazy, this is absurd. Yeah. Why are you wasting your time doing this? Like,
yeah,
I think it was literally like 5 or 6 days of just like school time, of course, but definitely at least 3 days of my life were just like 72 hours of serving detentions and ISS. Like I remember I had like 2 days of in-school suspension with detentions after.
Wow.
Like, it was ridiculous. Like, it was ridiculous.
And it just made you very reflective about what you were doing?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, why am I, like, I was, like, lying about stupid stuff, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was like, I just gotta stop. I just gotta stop.
So that was coming out of middle school. That's about the time you started thinking about everybody else going to TCHS and your grades and...
Yeah, and you know what? Like, I haven't maintained, I don't know, what I'd consider a decent GPA through high school.
Yeah.
I haven't. And I'm aware that I'm capable of doing that. Like, I don't want to say that because it sounds, like, really cocky, I guess. But, like, I know that I'm capable of better than I've done through high school.
Yeah.
But I've also had a great time. I've also had a great time through high school. Like, just a good time with my friends, good time in school has just been so much fun. I've gotten lucky. I've gotten really lucky through school. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to, like, be in the presence of Octavera. You know what I mean? It is such an awesome
thing. That's why we're doing this podcast. That's why we're doing it. Because I think people in the community don't understand that that's how kids feel when they leave. You know, we hear about, and it's, you get into your senior year, and like, I don't have any sense in this conversation that the dreaded senioritis has hit you. It probably has.
Yeah.
It does. Senioritis is not really a thing.
I believe it is. I think if you did
seniors make.
I think if you did a real study, you'd see. If you genuinely polled seniors, it's just a sense of like, why is it? It's sunny outside. I could be outside doing my thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like in this building. I've taken all my tests.
Yeah.
I'm done.
So you have hit on my criticism of high school.
Yeah.
That's my criticism as a person who spent most of my career in high schools. Is it meaningful for everybody? And that's where I think where senioritis comes from.
I can talk about that. There's a lot of kids. There's a lot of kids that would benefit from just not even being here anymore. Like, and it's the kids. It's the kids that are in these vocational programs.
Yeah. And that's like, because they're doing real stuff.
They go to work. They have over $1,000 on their paycheck every time they get their paycheck. You know what I mean? Like, they are just like, why are they here? Like, I'm like, I think about it. I'm like, we're using resources on these people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing that is shifting. It's actually the reason I'm at Octavera.
It's great.
It's the reason I'm here, because
it's a great thing.
With our CTE program in a school
of so powerful,
just 2,000 students in our district, to have the 12 programs that we have is really rare.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives our students an opportunity to have some alternative to the traditional
typical high school,
the traditional going to college, which our credit system is kind of designed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not designed necessarily to put kids into the workforce. And so that's what's attractive, and that's the barrier we want to break down for people.
I've gotten like a lot of industry certifications through my programs.
Really?
And it's just like, it's like a required, I actually just filled out a survey like a graduation survey, and I was like, I don't know the number. Mm-hmm. It's a fair amount. I know
more than 10. More than 5.
I've been given the opportunity on more than 10 for okay. sure. I'd okay. say for sure. Yeah. But yeah, definitely more than 5.
Mm-hmm.
My most like recent one that I got was my Nocti.
Mm-hmm.
I got advanced on both of those.
Did you?
Yeah, which is like a really good thing.
Yeah, it is.
And like you said, like I didn't even study for that thing. Yeah. Like I know, and I just knew it. Like
just because of experience.
It was advanced. The first time, like, we took the pre one in fall, and I tried my hardest on that one because I did want to see where I was at with my knowledge. And they tell, I don't know if I should say this, but they kind of tell you not to, like, do your best so that so it can seem like you've improved a lot. But I was like, I'm going to.
Yeah.
Just because I personally wanted to use it as a guide. What do I need to study?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the smarter way.
The questions are all the same.
Yeah.
So then I was able to look at the categories and be like, okay, yeah, I need to learn about soil sciences and SAE, which is like FFA stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, advanced on your Nocti is apparently really good. I have my OSHA 10, mm-hmm. general industry safety. You know, we've had the opportunity to get our artificial insemination license. Mm-hmm. We've had opportunities to get our pesticide applicator license.
Mm-hmm.
Which
is interesting because we probably have maintenance people that don't have those licenses.
Yeah.
Because you have to keep them up, and there's, you know, in a school, it's a big deal.
And for free, too. I think the only thing that we would have had to pay for was the one, which was like $25 because the school shelled out half of it.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, yeah. And it's you know, oh, my pet CPR. I have a bunch of them. I literally forget about them. Yeah, there's so many.
Yeah.
I actually got a badge for my email that I still need to put on there.
okay.
I'm excited to do that. I just don't know how to do it. I got to talk to somebody that knows computers.
Yeah, I could probably help with that.
Badge on my email, and they keep emailing me. They said you still haven't put your badge on here. I'm like, okay.
I'm on it.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
The programs in the building, though, like, I'm really excited. If you guys can get under that and get the programs in the building, Octorera, you're phenomenal. Like,
what we want, and I tell this to our team all the time, our administrative team. What we want is in 5 years, we just want people to be coming and saying, "How did you do this?
Yeah,
how did you do it?" And honestly, it's a lot of work, but one of the things that we need to do at Octorera is increase student voice.
Totally.
That's why this podcast with you is important. It's important for me. It's important for you. I think it's important for our students. And because it's not just adults that have ideas, we need to be listening to students on what they need. Because if we're giving you everything you need, it's less likely that you feel that your last year is a waste of time or last month is a waste of time.
Totally.
That was the physics kids I talked to on the first podcast.
I bet they're in the same shoes as I am. They've probably taken all their AP tests and they're like...
Well, they're working on this competition.
Yeah.
And they're still spending a dozen hours during a week.
Nice.
Studying something they're not even getting a grade for.
Nice.
And it's like, that's passion.
Yeah.
When you don't really care about the grade, you know, they've just decided that this is something that interests them, and so that's what we want. We want to instill that in our kids, you know, in our mission statement. We want lifelong learners.
Yeah.
I would say you've learned, you're on the front end of that learning.
Yeah.
And I think that what I've heard in this conversation is that somewhere in middle school, you kind of did a self-assessment. You're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And then that's been a continual journey.
It has been.
Have confidence that you can apply yourself. And that's why I'm not worried about you going forward. What I'm looking forward to is 10 years from now, finding out what you're doing. You know, you come back with a consulting card or something. And I remember when I was a classroom teacher, I had a large classroom. It was a really good private school in Florida.
Yeah.
And there was this class of 28 boys and one girl.
that was my exact situation in my private school in Westchester. So they end in fifth grade, and then you go to Westtown.
Okay.
It would have been like 16 girls and me and one other boy.
Oh, well, this was the boys.
Yeah.
And the one girl. Yeah. And the one girl loved it. She did. But you know that you have the snake in the can, and you pop the can and the snake pops out, and then trying to put the snake back in the can?
Yeah.
That's what that classroom was like every day. Because they were just bubbling over. And one day, so there's one guy who sat right in the front because he was really squirrely. It was his eighth grade. Really squirrely. And I needed to be in close proximity to him for him to behave. But he was really funny. And these are all kids that were, middle to upper class. And one day we were talking and I said, of all of you in this room, I only see one millionaire. And they're like, what do you mean? I said, I only see one person that I know will be the first millionaire in this class. And they were like, well, who is it? Who is it? And I said, no, I don't want to embarrass them. They're like, no, who is it? And I said, and I pointed to this, it's Eddie Sasso. And they're like, what? No way. Because Eddie was not the kid you would pick. And so then I went through and I just listed all the characteristics that he had. Look, he could sell ice to an Eskimo. He's funny. He's engaging. He's everybody in here is his friend. And, I just went through all these characteristics. So you could see him, his chest kind of puffing up. About 15 years later, Dan, I get an email from somebody.
Yeah.
It says, guess what? Eddie was the first millionaire. So I'm not worried about you. I don't know if you'll be a millionaire, but I'm not worried about you. You like Octorera has set you up well for your future. I think
greatly.
Yeah.
I'd agree.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Is that it?
Dan Rell.
We're all out of time.
We're good.
That's great. Hey, thank you so much for having me on here.
I appreciate it so much. Hold on.
This is great what you're doing, by the way. I'd, I.